SBR, the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week thus far. I'm Clippy's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
We got to hustle because everyone's putting out their top lists. I'm like, when we were doing it, it was like first, and then now everyone's done it because the season's starting like, what, next week?
I mean, who cares because their lists suck. I mean, ESPN's list is just trash, honestly. It's just
it's vengeful. Like, what's happening? Westbrook at like 90? Come on, guys.
They're so like, yeah, it's always like, oh well, we said this and we were wrong, so now we're gonna punish you. We're gonna punish you for us being wrong about our pick, about what we thought you were gonna be. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, a little intense, but all right, here we go. If you've listened thus far, you know what it's about. Now we're going into the heavy hitters, 11 to 20. There's been some controversy a little bit from some of our things. People have been asking, people defending Cat. I'm like, whoa,
defending Cat,
interesting.
Who's defending Cat?
Although I said too high or too low, and he said, you mean his voice? So the joke's going. The joke is going.
where do people think Cat should be?
They think based on talent alone should be higher. Top 20.
Yeah, but it's not talent alone. If it was talent alone, Kyrie would be, you know, number 2 or 3 or something.
That's true. He would be.
If it was talent alone, I mean, Jokic wouldn't be probably in the top 10.
Yeah, because his athleticism is a 0.
I mean, talent, yeah. That brings down your average a lot.
His athleticism is a 0.
But his All IQ right. is like a million. Yeah.
Here we go. Let's just get into it, Joe. Number 20. A favorite of this pod. Jalen Brunson.
Some of you might be surprised. 24, 4, 6, 49% shooting in his first season as the main option, the first option. Mm-hmm. More importantly, 28, 5, and 6 on 47% shooting in the playoffs, leading the Knicks to their first playoff series win since Melo.
Oh, Carmelo!
Since Melo was there a decade
ago. Melo played for the Lakers, the Blazers, the Thunder, the Rockets.
Yeah, all since then. He had a second whole career since then. And maybe it was a third career. And their second time in the semis since the 99-2000 season.
They've only won 2 playoff series in 23 years.
Man.
One
and
of
right
them
before that,
was
they were in the finals. Right before that.
Yeah, exactly.
Ranked 5th in clutch points last season with 10-plus games played. With players with 10-plus games played. Shooting 52% during clutch time. Look, we know. Jalen Brunson brought what the Knicks were sorely lacking. They were relying heavily on Julius Randle.
Yep.
We all know what a mistake that is. Everybody knew that wasn't going to work. And to be honest, the Knicks largely, in my opinion, overachieved last season, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. Other teams in the East were cratering around them. A lot of other more talented teams probably should have been ahead of them. Teams like Toronto, teams like Chicago, even like the Hornets. Well, I mean, obviously LaMelo was hurt for most of the season. But when you think about guys like that and you're like, oh, there's a lot of good talent on other teams. They don't have the most talented team.
No.
They have a very Thibodeau-style team, grinded out, defense, ugly wins. But the one shining bright spot, if you're going to shine a spotlight on somebody on the Knicks – I mean, because you got really disappointing, like, R.J. Barrett's and Julius Randle's and guys
Mitchell
like that.
Mitchell Robinson.
I know, guys that you think, every year it's like, oh, this is going to be the year. This guy's going to step up. This guy's going to explode. Nope. Even like Obi Toppin, I feel like underused. And you got a bunch of shooters who can't shoot for some reason. Once they get to the Knicks, they just can't shoot all of a sudden. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, Evan Fournier.
Yeah. Maybe Quickly. Quickly is also kind of a bright spot. But
yeah,
Jaylen is like the one real star on this team. And you got to give him credit. I mean, he outplayed Donovan. They outplayed the Cavs in the playoffs. Yeah. And it was largely, as you said last time, when we were covering Randall, I think it was like 2 weeks ago. But it wasn't because of Randall. It was because of Brunson.
Dude, Brunson is the man. You guys remember when Phoenix played the Mavs in the playoffs? Mm. And Phoenix was up 2-0 and Devin Booker was talking trash. And then somehow the Mavs win in 7. And all anyone remembers is, of course, Luka looking at Devin Booker, right? That's all. And they think Luka, he carried the Mavs by himself. Mm. He just did whatever he wanted. But Jalen Brunson, the second leading scorer of that team, tore up Phoenix. He tore them up, even though it was just under 20 points per game, right? Mm. Okay, that's fine. The Mavs ship Brunson over because Brunson wanted a lot of money. They ship Brunson over to the Knicks. The Knicks pay him star money. And everyone's like, you guys are fools. You guys are fools. Even us on this podcast, we didn't believe. And here he comes, winning their first playoff series in 10 years, their second one in 20 years on the Knicks. The Knicks achieving something. Brunson ranked 5th in clutch points during the playoffs with players with at least 4 games played. Behind Fox, behind Jimmy, behind Trey, behind Steph. He's in the top 5 amongst those guys on the list. And here's what's crazy. Those guys shot 35%, 46%, 36%, 45% respectively. Jalen Brunson shot 64% in the clutch.
Wow. That is freaking nuts. Real quick, okay? Again, for anyone who's just in case you're thinking like, this is too high. Okay. Let's just recap what's happened over the past 2 seasons. Okay.
Correct.
Dallas, 2 seasons ago, coming into the 21-22 season. Who does everybody think is going to win MVP, Cliff?
Luka.
Luka Doncic, right? Now, to their credit, Mavericks, very good that season. 52-30. They finished with the 4th best record in the Western Conference. As you said, they beat Phoenix. I mean, it's a great season. It's a great postseason. Now, that team is basically, I know this isn't exact, but it's basically Luka and Brunson. Mm-hmm. That's the team, right? And a bunch of role players. Okay. And then they get rid of Brunson because they think he's overrated.
Yeah.
Not worth the money. And Dallas goes from 52-30. Halfway through the season, they add Kyrie Irving, who probably everyone's thinking way better than Jalen Brunson, right?
27-5-6.
And they finish the season 38-44. And they missed the playoffs, 11th in the Western Conference. Meanwhile, New York goes from 37-45, 11th in the Eastern Conference. They add Brunson. They go 47-35. They finish 5th in the Eastern Conference.
They didn't change anything else on their roster.
They literally just added Jalen Brunson, and freaking RJ Barrett didn't even get better at basketball. And I'm kidding. He got better. And they actually won a playoff series. Mavs lost Brunson. Don't even make the playoffs. They went from 4th to 11th. New York Knicks come exact opposite. They went from 11th to 5th. And they won a first-round playoff series.
One of the 8 teams remaining to win the title.
There are very few instances when a trade is that kind of obvious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where not a lot of other stuff changes besides that one player moving. And look, I know there are a lot of mitigating circumstances with the Mavs and Kyrie and, you know, whatever. Injuries, whatever. But, I mean, the results speak for themselves. Numbers, in this case, they really don't lie. I mean, Jalen has just proven it on the court. And so I think he is well deserving of
he's a killer.
A top 20 spot.
Dude, to me, Jalen Brunson is like Camila Cabello leaving Fifth Harmony, okay? Like, yeah, Fifth Harmony, they had a good song, but she's the real star. But you need some more hits before you can truly ascend. To me, people may be complaining about Brunson at 20, but I'm like, can he go even further?
Oh.
Can he climb?
I think he can.
I think he just got a taste of what it felt like to be the man, and I think he's hungry still.
I don't know anything about Fifth Harmony, Cliff.
Exactly. The Mavs, they're gone. I know it's over.
I know maybe two songs of Camila.
But that's what I mean. It's not Timberlake and NSYNC to me.
I see.
That's what
I mean. But it's a duo, Cliff. It's a duo. You gotta it's like a it's a Bret Hart situation. You know?
And Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yeah. You know, they were good. They were actually good together.
Yeah.
Hart Foundation. I think they have some belts, some titles. But Bret Hart went on to be one of the GOATs in the old days. And, of course, he got screwed over at the end of his career. And who knows? Maybe that'll happen to Brunson. I hope not. But I think he has potential.
Yeah. It's
not the same heights, but, you know.
He's really good. I loved Bret Hart. He was the best. All right. Number 19. The Ant-Man. Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, season 4 upcoming.
Yep.
He was 25-6-4 and 46% shooting last season, even with Gobert. I think Kat probably is the one who suffered most from Gobert. Had an eye-opening FIBA where he was the unquestioned man, 32-5-5 on 48% shooting against the champs.
Yeah.
Stealing a game. Against the Nuggets. Now, is that the most significant win in history, Cliff?
No.
Is what the Timberwolves accomplished? We didn't even talk about this, how Kat said that, what they accomplished.
No, we did talk about it. We did talk about it, how it's greater than the Nuggets title. Because the Nuggets have been together
last
for
week.
Four years.
We didn't talk about it last week. We've talked about it in the past.
Yeah.
But, gosh, Kat, why does he say the dumbest things?
But it's significant for Ant.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No. I'm not saying
it's not significant in like it's better than the Nuggets championship, which
it's not
asinine.
Significant on the resume. It's not significant on the resume. It's significant as an indicator.
Yes. Yes.
Of where he is as a player. Yes. So absolutely, I buy that. I love Ant. Look, Ant was a little bit up and down, though, throughout the season. And there were times when the pressure was on and Ant was not good.
Yeah.
You know, there were times where the pressure was on and he was good. And there were times where he wasn't good. But I don't think it is. It's kind of like an early Kobe situation. You know, I don't think he lacks the will or the ability or the mentality. I think at the moment he lacks some skills. Right.
And experience.
Experience, yeah. He's lacking a little bit in what to do in certain situations, situational awareness. But he's going to get better. And I think he is the one reason that I have hope for Minnesota. Because obviously Kat's not it. Yeah.
What about Gobert?
He's not it. Oh, my gosh. They need to get rid of him.
What about Mike Conley?
God, oh. I mean, Conley's great, honestly. I think Conley is good for Ant, though. I will say. I think having a vet like Conley is good for Ant. I think it's going to help stabilize him. You know, show him the ropes, teach him little
the
tricks.
The Kyle Lowry effect.
Yeah, yeah. He's great. Mike Conley's great like that. Like, I've never had a problem with Mike Conley as a stabilizing presence, as a good vet, as a great player.
The problem is like, the max contract, Mike Conley.
I mean, yeah, when he's like the highest paid player in the league and stuff, that's like crazy stuff.
Here's my thing with Ant, because I love Ant, but dude, he plays in Minnesota. No one watches their games. They have less nationally televised games than the Thunder. Okay.
Gosh.
To me, this is kind of like Peter Petrelli's final fight against Siler, which we've mentioned many times, through a keyhole. You know it's cool, but did it even happen if they don't show it?
No.
Like, what's going on in there? What's happening in there? But look, Ant, 25-6-4 at 21 years old. Season 4, that's when you really start to figure out who you are. 22 years old, let's see how he comes out. Right.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to win a dunk contest.
Something.
That's what he needs to do.
He needs something.
If he goes out there and wins a dunk contest, people are going to pay attention. They're going to televise a ton more games.
Yeah.
He needs to just go full Vince and just be throwing down fancy dunks on the break.
To me, he gives me more very Vince Carter vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah,
he's uber talented, can do it all, great dunking ability, clutch too, but is not the Kobe guy, the MJ guy, right?
Talented. I'm going to say I don't know about that part.
Mm. Yeah.
I think Vince, he didn't really have that. You know, he's just like a little too nice.
Yeah.
He's a really just sociable guy. Everybody around the league loves Vince.
Everyone loved Vince
for 20 years. Yeah, I mean, 22 years, yeah. I mean, 20 plus years, I mean. Yeah, I mean, they loved him everywhere he went. And Ant can be that, but if he has a little bit more, if he's willing to make a few more enemies, then I think he can be a greater player.
All right, Joe. Number 18, De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox, 25-4-6 on 51% shooting. What's Fox's nickname? Does De'Aaron Fox have a nickname?
Swipa, Quick, Foxy.
Those are terrible nicknames. He needs a legit nickname. Gosh. What are you guys doing? What are beat writers in Sacramento doing? Come on. Give this guy something. With a name like De'Aaron Fox, I mean, you would think he would have,
You don't need a nickname. If your name is De'Aaron Fox.
I guess if that's your real name, you don't need a nickname.
Fox.
Clutch player of the year led everyone in clutch scoring.
Yep.
Clutch points per game. He played 39 games in the clutch. Crazy. And I feel like every time I tuned into a Sacramento game, he was hitting a game winner.
Hit big threes.
Like a go-ahead shot or a walk-off, like something. Took the team to the playoffs for the first time since 2006, since The Last Stand.
The Last Stand. The iPhone wasn't invented yet.
Mike Bibby,
Peja, Brad Miller team. Even Artest was on that team.
People forget. Artest was on that team?
Yeah, exactly. People forget. You're like, what? Rick Adelman was the coach. You haven't heard that name in a long time.
Jeez, Adelman.
Well, here's the one thing, Joe, that I'll remember about De'Aaron Fox. Remember when we went to Summer League? And remember it was supposed to be the rematch of Lonzo versus De'Aaron Fox? And Lonzo dodged him in the Summer League? That's when I was like, oh.
100%. Oh.
De'Aaron Fox, you're here to fight. Lonzo is here to run away. The only person that came to fight De'Aaron Fox was Alex Caruso, the bald.
Yes, that is the day I fell in love with both Alex Caruso and De'Aaron Fox. I was like, dude, Fox is here. Fox wants the smoke.
Yeah.
And Lonzo, gosh.
What? There was a fan that held up a sign.
Yep. That was warning sign number one. What did the sign say again?
It said Lonzo dodges Fox. Oh, Lonzo fears Fox. Lonzo fears Fox.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then the camera moved away quickly.
Yeah, I love De'Aaron Fox. Now, is he going to win a championship? I can say almost certainly not. Because he's on the Kings. I don't even blame him. I mean, the Kings have had such great players that we're not able to get it done. Chris Webber, all-time great player. And those Kings teams from 2000 to 2003.
They were perfect teams.
They were such good teams. They were
perfectly built.
They got the shooters. They had Peja. They had Bibby.
They had clutch. They had passing.
They had everything. Even, I mean, once Vlade got there, and then they had,
yeah.
I mean, Vlade was contributing all the the passing. They had Jay Will. They had White Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And then they upgraded to Bibby. I mean, it's just, I don't know. They were great teams. But
I just don't believe it, man. I just don't believe it. It's the Kings. They mess everything up. They mess everything up.
But how much do you put into the fact that De'Aaron Fox is able to overcome the Kings?
Oh. I mean,
Boogie, you know, you got Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins can't do anything. Okay? He cannot do anything with the Kings. And that's also another kind of generational big man talent guy, right? And on the other hand, you got De'Aaron Fox, who, look, I doubted for sure.
Yeah.
And he drags him to the playoffs for the first time since Cars 1, Cliff. Since Cars 1. Since the first night at the museum, Cliff. Since Casino Royale. Another whole franchise, Cliff. That's the first Daniel Craig Bond movie. Casino Royale 2006. And De'Aaron Fox is like, nah, I don't care. I don't care if this team has not been to the playoffs since people were just like, who is this blonde dude who's trying to be the new Bond? Like, who is this guy? This ripped guy.
Casino Royale. When a flush lost to a full house, to a bigger full house, to a straight flush.
I mean, that was like, come on, dude.
Why are you pre-flop playing 5-7 of spades? What? Are you insane?
Cliff, it's, you know, and it's the heart of the cards. You gotta just, you gotta just believe sometimes. You know, when the world is on the line.
Against sometimes, pocket aces.
So you just gotta believe, though. You just gotta believe. The first Bond ended. The Daniel Craig Bond series is over.
Yeah.
And another whole series. The X-Men, the new X-Men came and went, and the new Bond came and went.
The MCU came and went.
I mean, it hasn't went, but it's on the way out.
It's apparently. It's went.
I guess it's went. But
it's went.
I mean, you got to give this guy some credit. That's if true. De'Aaron Fox can fight that kind of tide, I mean, is the sky the limit? Or is Western Conference Finals the limit?
It's the limit. It's the limit. I mean, get them one more good piece. Like if they
Here's the thing though. Let's say they go to the Western Conference Finals this upcoming season.
Yeah.
Okay, with the same team. Okay? Maybe Keegan Murray gets a little better.
Yeah.
You know. And where
bump
would
him
you
up.
Rank Fo- yeah, bump where would you rank
up.
Fox
top 10.
Next? Top 10.
Top 10.
He's got to be, right? He's got to be.
Top 10. Top 10. Like, if some of these other guys above flame out, like, he jumps them all.
Honestly, to me, some of these guys are already, they're on notice.
They're on notice.
Yeah, they're up there, but I think they're living on legacy, some of these guys, you know?
So, to me, we talked about it, right? We talked about availability, 41 to 50, right? We talked about flaws, 31 to 40. We talked about mentality, right? Mm-hmm. 21 to 30. To me, this one is next man up, next man out. That's what this list is, right? It's the people that are knocking on the door and the people that are sliding their way out.
It's moving day.
Yeah, it's moving day. It's moving day. All right, let's keep it moving on that. Number 17, everyone's favorite, Paul George, PG-13, playoff P.
Pandemic P, my fave. See, you need a name like that. That just sticks.
Yeah. Pandemic P.
Pandemic P. Another 24-6-5 season. Let's say some good things about Pandemic P. 24-6-5. I'll call him playoff P for now. He's been some version of 24-6-5 for 10 years.
10 years!
Yeah.
It's like 23-7-5. 24-5-5, like 22-7-6. You know, it's like some except, version of that.
Yeah, it's like if you add them all up, the cumulative of his points, rebounds, and assists are all like right there. Except, Cliff, one season where he had this huge jump to 28 PPG.
Oh.
Only season that high.
Chris Paul.
His only season over 25 points.
Yeah, Chris Paul, some great passer like that, you know.
When he played with the listeners of us will know. When he played with Russell Westbrook, his only season where he had his highest PPG, you know, Russell Westbrook, the guy who ruins players, the guy who doesn't let other guys shoot, and who takes away all the touches, and who is the reason that the Lakers, you know, were terrible. No, that is the one season.
The 90th best player in the league? The guy that had the 90. Helped his teammates get the best points per game of all of their career? Kevin Durant?
Bradley Beal?
James Harden?
I mean, come on, guys.
LeBron James?
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Anyway, back to playoff P. It's only been 2 years since they broke through the Clipper curse, the Clipper curse, and actually made it to a conference finals, and without Kawhi.
Kawhi for two games.
Who went out, and you got to give him credit, okay? He's a great basketball player. He's been a great basketball player for his career. He did some amazing things in Indiana. The way it ended, though, really left a bad taste in my mouth when saying things like, I don't want to be a leader and I don't like leading this team. Like, he had some interviews was saying stuff like that. You know, he's been the butt of many jokes.
I thought his podcast would be worse because of all the crazy stuff that he typically says to the media.
Honestly, it's okay. I'll just be honest. It's not great. Yeah. It's not, you know, what's the Kelsey Brothers podcast? Dang, that thing is freaking New
Heights.
Dude,
their podcast is so good.
Their podcast is freaking amazing. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So good.
I have, like, a podcast that I want to aspire to be now.
As a podcast, I'm like, oh, that podcast is really good.
That podcast is amazing. If you guys don't listen to New Heights,
whereas the other basketball podcasts are kind of hovering the same thing, right? The Knuckleheads. Honestly, okay. Gilbert Arenas' podcast, Paul George's podcast, they're all kind of the same. The only one that's, like, pretty good is J.J. Redick's podcast.
J.J. Redick's is good because his analysis is good. But the thing is, a lot of the other podcasts, like, you know, All the Smoke or Knuckleheads, like, all those, it's the guests who are good.
Yeah, right.
You know, whereas New Heights, it's the hosts that are good.
Right. It's just
because they don't even need guests. Yeah, like, they're just talking to each other, and it's freaking hilarious. It is so good. Anyway,
PG-13
is like, PG's is like, honestly, it's kind of bottom tier though of all the basketball guys who are doing, I gotta be honest, okay, like JJ, I'm always tuning into JJ's podcast. I want to know what's going on. All the Smoke and Knuckleheads, it's like here and there, it depends who the guest is. PG, it's like, I mean, it's weird, but even it's kind of boring. Like, he had Clay on. It was pretty boring, dude. Like, even the social clips, they're kind of like, you watch it and you're like, oh, that was the end.
Come on.
You know, there's some kind of punchline, right? And then, you know, and then it ends and they show the thing or whatever. There's the info, right? And it's kind of, I honestly saw like three shorts with Clay on it. And I was like, oh. Okay, that's over. Let me go to the next one. Let me see this next one. Okay, yeah, I don't know. It's just...
Dude, okay. But yes, again, we make fun of Paul George all the time. Game winners on Paul George, 15-minute compilation, we know.
Let me tell you guys something real quick, okay? Because the line, there's a line here, and Cliff does a lot of this writing, right? And, you know, we both do, but we write our own stuff, but sometimes Cliff writes stuff, and there's something written here. But I'm not saying it, because I don't agree with it. And what it says is, he's been a joke, but the dude is good at basketball. The slander has gone a bit too far.
Yeah.
And I don't agree that the slander has gone too far.
There needs to be more?
I do not agree. James Harden being ranked at 43 or whatever.
Yeah.
Gone too far. PG, I don't know where ESPN has PG, but I'm assuming they have him pretty high. Dude is bulletproof, okay? Like, in terms of where he's ranked every season, and in terms of legacy, there's always people coming out to defend PG.
18.
Look, he's right where we have Cliff. I'm telling you, no matter how hard Paul George fails, he's always going to have people defending him. Okay. Compare Paul George to James Harden. Why is Paul George ranked higher? Like, why is he ranked higher, period? And, you know, which is arguable. We have him higher too. But like explain it. Right? Like, you got to have a big, long explanation. And then is he deserved to be, in ESPN's opinion, 30 places higher? You know, or whatever it is, 25, 26 higher? Look, to me, PG is exactly the guy who is where we just said. He is hanging on for dear life. Okay? Yeah. If the Clippers don't go to the freaking Western Conference Finals this year, PG, he's got to get out of here.
Yeah.
He's got to get out of here. When all these guys are ascending, all these guys, I mean, their numbers dwarf PG in a lot of ways, and impact and like the things that they're doing. And he's barely healthy too. Like, on all the metrics, he's missing games. He's not producing in the playoffs. The Clippers haven't done anything. Take the past four seasons. They have massively underachieved.
They gave up 6 picks to have this team.
I mean, massively. Yes, they broke the Clipper curse.
And Shea.
But when Kawhi and PG got together for the Clippers, many people were like, oh, I mean, it's automatic at least one title in the next 3 years, right?
Right.
Automatic. And the favorites for the upcoming season. It's like they're the favorites for this season, and then they're probably going to win at least one or two titles over the next. I mean, this is prime Kawhi coming off of a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Look, injuries, yes. The curse, all that kind of stuff. But if you can't overcome the curse, you don't deserve to move up. So, PG, look, he's in our top 20. I don't think this is slanderous. So, I don't think the slander's gone too far. I mean, making fun of the weird things that he says is, I think, fair game. I still think he's a good basketball player. He's a great basketball player for now. If they don't produce this season, I don't care about the reason. Even if it's injuries or availability, he's got to move down. He's got to move out of the top 25.
That's fair. Even if he produces the exact same season.
I mean, yeah. Because if the results aren't different, then if there's 30 guys in the NBA that have these kind of numbers, 25, 5, and 5. You go back to the bottom of the 30s, and you got guys with the – like, these are Zach LaVine's numbers. These are Zach LaVine's exact numbers.
Zach LaVine.
Right? So, I mean, it's about production at that point.
Yeah. We're nitpicking here. This is nitpicking for the top players in the NBA. All right, let's go number 16, Spida Mitchell.
Spida. Oh, that's a great nickname, Spider. 28-4-4, 48% shooting. His first season away from Gobert, obviously had a bit of a bump. But bad news for Spider. Depressing. 23 PPG on 43% shooting in the playoffs. That is not good.
He flamed out.
And he was not good in games, what, 4 or 5?
I was shocked.
He was not good.
I was pretty shocked.
And
it's been a while since he went 50 for 50 against Jamal Murray.
Yep.
And he needed to do something like that toe-to-toe with Brunson, and he didn't.
He didn't. I mean, credit to Tibbs. Great defensive scheme.
He always does.
He really took advantage of the your turn, my turn that Cleveland was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't find a way to scheme out of that and to really maximize their advantages. And it was just ugly. It was just an ugly series. I mean, nobody was great. Brunson was great. Everybody else was kind of ugh. Like, not great. Donovan is kind of getting, he's getting a slight pass here, honestly. Yeah, to be ranked this high. I think it's because we have faith in him. I think it's because some of the things that he's produced in the past. And obviously because he is a young player who is ascending. We expect him to get better and to be better. We expect experience to get better. It's kind of like with Ant. It's kind of like with De'Aaron Fox. Like these guys, you give them a little bump because you expect them to improve because they're ascending. And then guys like PG, they're kind of hanging on because he's older and he's declining and you expect them to get worse. So, but I got to be honest, if Donovan doesn't start having better results in the playoffs, he's going to fall into that 20 to 30 tier. And get stuck there. He's going to get stuck in the Ingram, DeRozan, like those guys. He's going to be one of those guys who gets numbers, but who's not next level, who can't get his team to the next rounds. I think he can.
I mean,
but
he's gone. He's gone next rounds before.
He has, but like to me at this point, even a guy like Embiid should be on notice.
Yeah, for sure.
Like he's got to get to the conference finals. If he doesn't get to the conference finals soon,
it's because people are talking about him top five. Top five kind of guy.
I don't think he can maintain top 10 status. He shouldn't maintain top 10 status if he keeps flaming out in the second round.
He has to.
You can't do that. When there's guys out there who are like the Tatums, you know, you got the Lucas, you got the even like Trae Young. Trae Young beat you straight up. To get to the conference finals. Like when you got guys who can reach that height just by turning it on and just saying, I don't care what's going on, I'm just going to win this series.
Yeah.
If you never do that, I mean, Dame has been to a conference finals.
Yeah.
Because he just said, hey, I don't care. I'm just going to take, like, I have the sorriest team in the playoffs and I'm just going to take over and just dominate. And you can't do that every year. But if you're a superstar, you got to be able to do that sometimes.
Yeah.
And for Embiid, we just have never seen it. So if Donovan doesn't ever show it, I love the 50s, but they didn't win the series. Because
they didn't win that series.
Mike Conley didn't pass him the ball.
Oh, Conley.
At the end of the game. What was that? Man, Conley just ruined this man's career. He could be... He could be a top 10 player right now with a conference finals appearance under his belt, probably. Anyway.
Yeah, we're he definitely is in a fringe position. Just because, again, now he's in a contract. He turned down an extension, right? So it seems like he's not going to stay in Cleveland long term. I don't know where he wants to go. But if he pairs up with Brunson, does that mean who's the alpha there? Because it sounds like Brunson is going to take over this whole thing. Where's Donovan going to go where he can be the main guy outside of where he is right now? Going on your third team in 7 years. The good news for him is
Indiana.
He's six years in, six playoff series in, right?
Yeah.
He's on your team, you make the playoffs, but you got to do more. You got to get further ahead.
If he wants to get into the next tier, he's in he's in the Vince T-Mac tier right now.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to get into that tier one.
Yeah.
Kobe, KG, Tim Duncan.
That's an elite tier.
It is. Elite the LeBron, tier. KD, Steph tier. It is a tough tier to get into. I mean, he can get into... I mean, if you're going to say S tier is like just three guys, right? It's like the Jokic, Giannis,
Steph,
you know, if like that's the, and then maybe, I don't know, KD, if healthy, right? If you're like, that's just it, that's the S tier. He can get into the A tier though, where there's still Luka, where there's still Tatum, where there's still, you know, like all these other guys.
Yeah.
But right now he's in like the B tier. He's in the B tier. He is. I mean, because, you know, the S tier is real small and then the A tier is a little bit – it's a pyramid, right?
Yeah.
And then the B tier is bigger and he's just in the B tier with a lot of guys. There are a lot of guys in the B tier.
Well, let's talk about another guy who may be in the B tier right now. Number 15, Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray, 24-6. This guy's numbers are 20 points per game, 4-6, 4 rebounds, 6 assists on 45% shooting. Now, he did come off an ACL surgery,
yep.
So he was recovering. His regular season numbers haven't been amazing. He's never had a really good full...
That's why he's no zero-time All-Star.
Yeah. I mean, he's never been an All-Star, and yet he's an NBA champ. 26, 6-7 on 47% shooting in the playoffs. Unquestioned, you know, number two guy on this team. 33, 6-5 on 53% shooting against the Lakers in a sweep against LeBron and AD. Gosh, that was painful. He was not missing anything.
Yeah.
21, 6-10 against the Heat. They had a different scheme against him. He was passing a lot more.
Yeah.
He's not a fluke. He is an absolute baller. He's an absolute baller, Cliff.
He's a winner.
He's a winner. Yes. He's a gamer.
He's a gamer. That's 100%. What I love about Jamal Murray. Like, he does whatever it takes to win.
Yep.
And he balls out. Yep. It's kind of like the Jalen Brunson-ish thing. Like,
it is.
Similar like that, but one level
higher
further.
Ceiling, though. Higher ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One level further. One level further. To me, I think he's like on the Nuggets. He's like Ethan Hawke in Training Day, right? Denzel gets all the attention. Denzel, yep. And he's great. Deserve the Oscar. Deserve the two-time MVP. Deserve the Finals MVP. But man, Ethan Hawke also makes that movie, right? Jamal Murray plus 100%. Jokic are the Nuggets. That's the Nuggets together.
Yeah. Jokic is a thug.
Yeah,
he's the one who lowers his shoulder and just takes him out, takes out Morris.
He's looking at horses all day, okay?
This guy freaking doesn't even know where his ring is or his trophy is. Like, this guy,
you don't care.
This guy,
King Kong
do
got
not
nothing
care.
On him, right?
Yeah, I love Murray. Murray needs to put together one good regular season. One healthy full regular season where he's averaging 25, 6-6. 25, 4-7.
You know, the numbers that everyone gets.
Yeah. What all these other guys have. One
the
full season of that. And an all-star appearance. And that basically moves him up to like the fringe top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing holding him back at the moment is that he just hasn't done it. I mean, he's had amazing playoff runs.
Great playoff runs.
But
multiple times.
He just hasn't done it in the regular season.
Yeah.
And so he just needs to do it in the regular season. I think it's inevitable. I think Jamal Murray, I think he is crazily underrated in fantasy right now. I think they have him projected for like these same numbers. And I just think there's no way Jamal Murray is healthy, there's no way he's going to have these same numbers. He's going to be way closer to his playoff numbers than his regular season numbers, in my opinion.
ESPN has him ranked 17th behind Bam Adebayo.
That's high, actually. That's higher than I thought. I saw him on I wonder where Yahoo has him ranked. I don't know. I don't want to check right now. But let me just check real quick.
What?
I just want to check. I wasn't going to check, but I'm going to check.
No. Look, Jamal Murray, so good, right? He's doing the opposite of what Donovan is doing. So Donovan is going balls out during the regular season and then just can't get the wins. To be fair, Donovan doesn't have Jokic, but Jamal Murray is taking his opportunity and capitalizing on it.
Yahoo has him ranked, Cliff, 43.
Ugh.
43.
On what grounds?
So, I don't know.
Like fantasy-wise or?
Fantasy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, Yahoo fantasy, yeah.
Okay.
I think he is.
I mean, he probably still wants Zach LaVine in fantasy.
It's a great fantasy player.
You're a great fantasy player. Just All right, Joe, let's move on from Jamal Murray. And let's go to number 14. The reason why we started this podcast in the first place. The chosen one himself, the king himself, LeBron James.
LeBron James, the chosen one, the messiah of the NBA. 29, 8, 7, 50% shooting. LeBron is the king of numbers. Okay. No one will ever stop this man from getting his numbers. 25, 10, and 7 on 50% shooting in the playoffs. Last year was LeBron's lowest PER in his career outside of his rookie season. He's declining, and yet, gosh, this guy just like cannot be stopped numbers-wise.
I know.
His last two playoffs are his lowest PER of his career, 20.1. That's actually pretty low. That's pretty low.
Like the efficiency ratings are like not bad, right? He's still like top 15 player in PER. But like this is to kind of establish that there is a decline. Like no matter what the traditional metrics say.
Yeah.
Like you look at his traditional metrics, you're like, oh, he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
But like for the first time, the LeBronis cannot use advanced metrics for their case because they're declining.
Right. And also what he is truly the king of, even beyond numbers, is longevity.
Yeah.
Durability, right? I mean, this guy has played so many games. That's why he's going to have every, you know, title, every scoring assist. I mean, like, because he's just playing so long.
He might lead all the career numbers by the time
he's
done.
He's playing at such a high level for so many years.
Yeah.
And that is amazing, honestly. That's not something that anyone can say against LeBron. However, he is getting older, and so he's starting to miss games. He's missed 30% of his games as a Laker. Regular season games as a Laker. That's a lot.
That's a lot, Joe. But here's my question for you, Joe. He's been on the Lakers 5 years. Mm-hmm. Also has a championship.
Yep.
Do you embrace him as a Lakers player? This is his longest stint on a team since his first Cleveland stint. Like, how do you feel if someone says, hey, he's the fifth greatest Laker of all time? Or how does it feel if someone says, LeBron should have his jersey retired on the Lakers? For sure. Unquestioned.
I mean, I don't mind if he has his jersey retired. Because he's like one of the greatest players of all time. And he did win a championship and all that stuff. So it's fine. 5 seasons is enough, I think. But no, I have not embraced LeBron as a Laker. I now tolerate LeBron.
Oh.
Yes.
Come around.
Yeah. Yes. I'm okay with what LeBron has done. I think LeBron has changed a lot since he became a Laker.
That's true.
He has accepted like that he is getting older. He's accepted like changes in his game.
He's even talking up Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I give LeBron credit. Like he has it been amazing? No. But look, he won a championship. He's still producing at this very advanced age, which is incredibly difficult. I think like the older he gets, the more he keeps doing this at the older age, it doesn't change anything in the Jordan debate to me.
Yeah.
You know, because he's not better than he was in his prime. And that would and that would be the only way to me, or if he's like winning a bunch of championships, like that would be the only way to change that debate. However, it is making me like him more.
Mm.
You know, because it's more of like a an underdog type story. Mm. Whereas LeBron always comes in as the overwhelming favorite, you know, and he's got like an unfair advantage and he's got the best team and the best supporting cast, and yet people are trying to paint him as the underdog.
Yeah.
You know, it's like now he kind of is more of an underdog because he's so old, and the fact that he just has age and time against him makes me root for him more, I think, a little bit.
And he overachieved last season.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as he says, you know, normal stuff, like he's talking up AD, that's cool. You know, if he brings out all these books he's never read and, like, you know, talking about how he knew these rap groups, he was listening to them when they were in diapers and stuff like that. Like, that's what makes me like him less. And how challenging it is for him, you know, to just, I don't know.
I like the reverse. It's done the reverse to me, where I'm like, oh, can't name one Godfather quote. I'm like waiting for his next cap. I'm like, please, please, like, say something else. I'm like craving it. LeBron Sama, give it to the people. Talk about how you know this soccer player.
It's like post Shippuden Orochimaru, where he's like no longer the big bad. He's just kind of like floating around doing weird stuff.
Yeah, like doing stuff. You're just like, you're so funny, dude.
It's like, what are you doing over there? It's like, there's all these new, you know, he's wearing this science gown.
I'm like, what is a science gown, dude? Why aren't you wearing your purple rope thing?
And doing science.
Wow, that's a callback. That's a callback.
Yeah, it's making me like him more, you know? It's just doing stuff.
All right, Joe, number 13, favorite of this podcast, Dame Dala.
Dame Dala, 32-5-7 last season on 46% shooting. However, he only played 58 games, and the season prior he played 29 games. And so if there is a reason that Dame is outside the top 10,
I mean,
one, obviously it's hasn't been in the playoffs. And then two is, you know, in the past couple seasons, and then it's availability. Yeah, he's missed a lot of games. The last time he did make the playoffs, he was 34-4-10 on 46% shooting. I mean, look, when did we make this, like a month ago or something like that? 5 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Right now, I would move Dame up, projecting this season. Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm going to move him into the top seven.
Wow.
Yeah, because I think the Bucks are going to steamroll the league. Yeah, like, as long as Dame stays healthy, as long as Giannis and Dame stay healthy,
yeah,
I think they're gonna be very good. And because the Bucks are usually good in the regular season, I think they'll be well coached and they'll be ready. And then come the postseason, I think Dame is gonna shine. And I'm liking this pairing more and more. Like, the more I think about it, I didn't love it at the beginning, but I'm liking it more and more. And Dame also said, do you know what Dame said, Cliff? What
did he say?
He said, for the first time in my career, I'm going to play with a player who's better than me.
Ooh.
That takes... If you're a player of Dame's caliber...
Yeah.
To
any
say
guy
something like
on
that,
this list right now and above.
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's true, you don't have to say it, right?
Yeah.
You know who didn't say that when they got to Dallas? You know who didn't say that? Well, it wouldn't be his first time playing with
Spencer
a player better
Dinwiddie?
Than him anyway. I mean,
Spencer
he didn't
Dinwiddie.
Say it. He didn't say it when he went to Brooklyn either. He decided to throw shade at the other player who was better than him that he just played with. But that kind of humility gives me a lot of hope for this team. Right. It makes me expect even greater things. Because if you're willing to say that, if you're a Dame caliber player, you're a top 10 player, you're a top 10 caliber player, and you're willing to say, hey, I'm not even the best player on this team, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
That means you're all about winning. You don't care about egos. You don't care about who gets credit. You don't care about any of that stuff. And you know Giannis is already like that. So that gives me even more... Not hope, because hope's not the right word. What am I trying to say? It gives me more confidence that this team is going to succeed. It doesn't necessarily mean a championship. Probably going to the finals, I'd say.
I think all those things make me think he's going to take a step back. So his numbers are going to go down.
His numbers will go down, I think.
Yeah, maybe he's going to get hurt. I don't know. Hopefully not.
But why do you think that?
Because of the history, and he's older, you know. And I feel like every time we've seen someone join someone new, like, they get hurt. Right, Steve Nash, like, coming to the Lakers, like, they get hurt. Like, all these people that come to a new environment, Shaq coming to a new environment, get hurt.
But you're talking about, like, old players.
But
you're talking about players past their, like, well past their prime. Damon's at the tail end of his prime.
I think there's a lot to new treatment teams.
Oh.
I think there is something to that, right? Like,
that's...
Dame has been on the same treatment team for 10 years. He's about to join something else. We'll see if that makes a difference or not. I don't know. But from what I've seen, like, there's always some kind of injury thing that happens with new players joining new teams. LeBron, look at LeBron.
That's possible, but I think you're talking about older players. Like,
yeah.
I think when players are not that old, like Boston Big Three, like 2008, you know, like those kinds of teams, or the Pistons, like when Rashid went to the Pistons, like those kinds of pairings to me. Because, yeah, if you're going to go like GP or Karl Malone or like those kind of, or Steve Nash or like Shaq when he was moving, like they were way older by that point. And I think the expectations didn't match what that player was at that time. Dame's coming off a 32-5-7 season.
It's true.
I mean, he hasn't declined yet.
Yeah,
that was his best season ever, right? So, I mean, he is at the pinnacle. He can decline now. He might decline this upcoming season. So it's fair, obviously, to think that that might happen. But I think the opposite, like, I think his numbers obviously are going to come down a little bit. Not that much. But I think, like, he's going to be rejuvenated and motivated. I think players get injured when they have nothing to play for. Like, when the Wizards suck, Brad Beal was hurt, like, constantly.
Yeah.
I actually think Brad Beal will probably not be as hurt this season coming to Phoenix, even though he has a history of injury. Because when you don't care, you're not, like, motivated, you know? And I think that translates to, like, how you play, how you take care of your body, how, like, you know what I mean? Like, paying attention to the little things and, like, getting enough sleep and eating right and all that kind of stuff. I think when you suck, when your team sucks, you're just not, you don't care. And you're just whatever. And, you know, on those bad teams, I feel like players are getting injured all the time, right? And usually when a team is making a title run, when they're, like, when they're poised preseason to be title favorites, they don't usually – somehow they're lucky, right? Like Golden State, all the years they were going to the – you know, they got unlucky at the end. But then, like, every year they're making runs, right? Like the Lakers, all those years – when they're making runs, they're just, like, not getting hurt. So the Spurs, like, every time they're, like, they're just not having the injury bug, you know? And then once you're projected to suck or decline, injuries just, like, they're just, like, hit everybody. There's always exceptions, like KD, but I think he's just kind of injury prone. You know, like, Kawhi. There are some guys. Yeah, Kawhi, of course. There are always those guys who – but that's more, like, the individual player, right? I mean, once the Lakers sucked, then, well, I mean – Kobe's body fell apart, but actually he fell apart first and then they sucked. But
I think there's something to having a new doctor or a new trainer look at you. They got to learn your body all over again. I think the other thing that's really interesting that I heard recently, I think it was Jeff Teague that said it, says he thinks the reason that LeBron is able to stay healthy for so long is because he never redlines. And so he never plays at max capacity. He just plays.
But don't you think that lends to, like, because Dame doesn't have to play at max capacity. Like, on Portland, he's always having to, like, he's having to kill himself. He had to have 71 points in a random game.
Yeah.
Against, who was that even against? They're playing some sorry team.
Yeah, I don't know. you could be right. But I think on the flip side, it could be expectations, right? Like, he wants to prove he's worth whatever he is.
I don't think Dame cares about that. I don't think Dame cares about that at all. Like, saying that another player on your team is better than you proves that, like, you don't really care about the individual accolades. You're there to win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But the expectations are a title team. Like, that they're going to be the best, one of the best teams in the league.
I'm not worried about Dame and expectations. I don't think Dame is the type of player that we should be worried about, like, oh, he's going to crumble. You know what I mean? Like,
No. I don't mean crumble. No one is immune to pressure, though. I think when you want to, if we're talking about redlining, right? Like, if you want to hit those expectations, you push yourself to the red line.
I mean, you have Giannis. Maybe if it was a different player. But Giannis is so easily like a 30, 10, and 5 guy. That he, I don't think he even has to try hard to get those numbers. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying easily. Like, he doesn't even have to try hard to do that. And then, you know, Dame, I mean, Dame could score like, what? I mean, let's say his scoring average comes back 5 points. That's 27? He's 27, 5-7. Like, that would be way less than that would be way less work, basically. That's probably 5 fewer minutes and, like, you know what I mean? Like, 3 or 4 fewer shot attempts, and he could still get, like, I think Dame could do that pretty easily also.
I hope so. I just think there are reasons for concern. That's all.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, in terms of age, I 100% agree. Just the fact of him being old, he could definitely get hurt. The team doctor thing, I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's definitely a possibility.
Age, history, expectations.
I think all in terms of, like, yeah, just expectations and stuff like that, I 100% disagree. I think Dame is happy to not have to carry the load all by himself as he has his whole career.
Yeah. We'll find out. All right, last two. Number 12, Ja Morant.
Ja Pistol Morant. 26-6-8 in the regular season. In the playoffs, 25-7-7, even though he was hurt, obviously, on his shooting hand. He was like screaming in pain when he got hurt.
He was. I was like, oh, he broke his hand.
Yeah. It looked bad. But also,
he broke his hand.
I don't know. Ja's body is very slight, so.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously, elephant in the room with Ja. Look, on the court, Ja's amazing, okay? Ja's top 10, easily. Off the court, doing the Gilbert Arenas thing.
Oh.
Not good. The finger guns. I was just reading about it again today. And it was like he did the guns and then they were doing an investigation. He brought 4 guns from his home in Virginia because his story is, this is like, come on, dude. The story is they were not, there was no ammo. They were not loaded. And he had thought that some kind of change in DC law made it legal for him to have those guns in the locker room if they weren't loaded. I mean, I don't know. And then while they were doing the investigation, literally the next day in the pregame warmups, Gilbert Arenas does the finger guns and he shoots all his players. They're all laughing and joking around about it. And then he was suspended immediately. Before the investigation was completed, they suspended him. And they tried to take that picture. I just found out today. They contacted Getty, like the Getty images, and they didn't. They were like trying to block, like censor that picture so that journalists couldn't use it. Because they were embarrassed probably, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the journalists, like ESPN, they contacted them. They were like, hey, well, how come we can't use this picture? And then they just let them use it again. Like, they probably didn't really know what was going on. They just were panicking.
Here you go.
But yeah, Ja's doing it. Unfortunately, he seems like he's doing something similar.
The second time was bad. And then his AI written, chatbot written apology.
ChatGPT. Man, I don't know. He does seem like right now at 12, I'm like, okay. Obviously, he's going to miss 25 games.
Yeah.
But I'm just basically kind of ignoring that, you know? Like, it's like, all right. Because we know he has to miss because he's suspended. It's not the same as injury, I think. However, it feels a little bit like he's driving a car real fast and the brakes are out.
Yeah.
And I hope not. But, you know, when you look at the D-Roses, when you look at the Gilbert Arenas's, it was just, like, too crazy. It was too much, too fast. I mean, D-Rose was his body, obviously, but It feels similar. Not for any reason. It just feels similar.
Like it's headed towards a crash. Like you're watching a crash happen in real time. Or
yeah. Yeah, because all the signs are there. It's just like, is this guy learning? Is he changing for real? What's going to make him realize, you know?
That's the hard part. I think the part that makes me hopeful is he's going to be surrounded by, you know, famous team leader, Marcus Smart, mm-hmm. right? And he also has Aquaman, Steven Adams, to
true
famous good guy. And, of course, his multiversal self, Derrick Rose, is now on the team, sparking an incursion, you know? But he has – if he can't do it this season, it's over.
Mm.
Like, it's over. He has everything in his hands to make this a non-issue season.
Mm.
And if he can't do it, then – it's just like Zion. I ain't gonna believe in you anymore.
Mm.
Doesn't matter how many windmills you do in practice. I don't care.
Doesn't matter how many photos of salads you post.
It's not real. It's not real.
How many gym pics you post?
It's all ChatGPT created. Okay, we know it's not real.
It's all
we know
AI.
It's not real. And the thing with Ja is the apology was not real. He doesn't feel sorry, but being away from the team for 25 games, we'll see. And then being in the locker room with these guys after they had to gel, and he has to come in and be the guy again. We'll see. We'll see.
I haven't seen any genuine remorse from Ja. Yeah. Remember he did that interview.
He doesn't care.
Terrible interview. He didn't seem... You can always tell when somebody is actually remorseful.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're realizing something about themselves.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, like something that they had no idea of before. It's about themselves.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's what they realize. But Ja's... Whenever people say stuff like they didn't realize how this affected certain people or they didn't realize how their words would be taken, you know, or their actions would be. Do you know what I mean? It's always that's always deflecting to other people, you know, or if they say, oh, I changed, you know, like within a week or within 2 weeks. It's like I changed now. You know, I changed. I went to therapy for like 5 days straight. It was crazy. You know, like remember what he like whatever he did, he was like in a camp for a couple weeks. He's like, oh yeah, no, I'm good now. I changed. It's like, come on. If an alcoholic, if a gambling addict comes to you and is like, dude, I mean, I haven't gambled in like 7 days, dude, it's I'm a completely different human being now. It's okay. I don't think that constitutes real change. What you should be saying at that very early stage, right, is, man, I didn't realize how messed up I was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize, wow, I really have an impulse control problem.
Yeah.
And I want it. I need help. Right. Yeah. That's what they always say at the beginning. And for Ja, I haven't heard him say anything close to that.
No.
Like, not close. Not like, wow, I didn't realize. Oh, yeah. No, he's very, he's kind of justifying still, like, his actions. And I mean, you know, that's a toy gun. It's just like.
Yeah. But you know what? You know? Gilbert Arenas were finger guns.
I mean, Gilbert, it's the same thing, right? Like, he didn't realize what a huge mistake he had made.
Yeah.
Unless he was just trying to get paid on that huge contract without playing.
Who I don't know if he's still getting paid or not.
I mean, man.
But it's quite possible. But, dude, this guy has the world in his hands. 24 years old. He has it. He could be a championship level guy.
He has flaws in his game right now. He's still so young. He's 24, right?
Yeah.
Like, and yet he would be top 10 easily if not for this stupid thing.
26, 6, and 8.
imagine how different his playoffs could have been also if he didn't have this like looming over him. Like the team always, it's just had weird vibes, you know, the whole season. Yeah. Like,
yeah, you put your team in a compromising situation.
Yeah.
You know?
And you so force Dylan Brooks to lose his mind and just say some crazy stuff. Oh. But hey, Dylan Brooks has the last laugh.
I'm shocked. How is he not on the Gwangjin Tigers? I don't know. All right, Joe, last one.
In FIBA, he was amazing.
Last one. Number 11, just outside the top 10, we have SGA.
SGA, 31-5-6-2-1 on 51% shooting.
Oh, my God. Those numbers look not real. Like, that looks insane.
SGA is ridiculous. He's ridiculous. He is so good. A lot of this, look, he hasn't, you know, gotten to the playoffs yet.
He hasn't made the playoffs.
But, man, he's so dang good. He's so good. This past season, and the thing is, a lot of the reason he's ranked so high, it's not about legacy. It's not about what he's done. It's about if you watch him play, he looks unstoppable.
Yeah.
He just looks 100%. It's kind of like what I was saying about Trae Young, except he is way more efficient at it.
Yeah.
And he's bigger, and he just looks unstoppable offensively. OKC is going to be a lot better this year. They already have Jalen Williams. They have Josh Giddey. All these young guys are improving.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're going to make the playoffs this season. And so,
I hope so. They better make it. SGA better make it.
I mean, if they don't, we'll have to drop them a little.
Yeah.
But they will. They're going to make it.
Side tangent for you, Joe. The OKC Thunder did some research. Have 14 first-round picks between this year and 2027.
That's crazy.
So that's in 4 years, they have about 4 picks a year. First-rounders. That's ridiculous. Only that's 6 ridiculous. Of those are protected. 8 of those are unprotected picks. I think they got to go get somebody.
Of course. Of course. What are you going to do with 4 picks a year? There aren't that many good players coming out every year.
You can't sign them all. There's not enough roster spots.
It's just ridiculous. That's stupid. Yeah. I mean, trade them. Of course. You can get a ton of you could get a star. You can get all kinds of stuff with those picks. And you could just keep some of them too. Like 14 picks. 14 first round, but just keep like 4 of them, you know?
That's the normal amount people have.
Yeah. Just keep like 5 of them and trade 9 of the picks and get some players on this squad. Get some veterans, get some experience.
Dude, I bet you could get Jimmy Butler for a handful of those picks.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine Jimmy Butler with Shea.
I mean, yeah, Shea's amazing. He's very good at basketball. He has a lot of upside. We'll see. I mean, he hasn't done anything in the playoffs yet, so we'll see. But I have a feeling the Thunder are going to make the playoffs, and he's going to
Shea and Embiid for 14 picks? I'm sure you can put something together. Shea, Embiid, Jimmy Butler?
It's crazy, though. It's like, I don't even know if I want those guys. Because the Thunder are so young.
They are very young.
You know, you need a younger guy. A younger veteran.
Like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown. That would be a good guy to get.
All right. That's 11 to 20, Joe. That's a lot of guys. There's only 10 more left.
One guy out of this tier that you think is going to move up if you had a bet on one guy and one guy down.
One guy up, one guy down. Give me SGA.
Up?
Up.
Jeez. He's moving into the top 10.
SGA up. Like, he's going to make the playoffs. Like, his numbers are going to stay the same. He's going to do another 30 points per game season. How can you not put him up? And the guy to put down, of course, my boy, Paul George. Pandemic P.
Pandemic P.
He's got to be. He's got to go down. He's got to go down.
I'm going to go.
Who I want to say is going to go up is Jamal Murray. That's my deep desire person to want to go up.
Me too. I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox up.
Whoa! 10? Top 10?
No, I mean, not top 10 necessarily. Oh, just to move up. Yeah, okay, just to move up.
Just to move up. Okay. Yeah.
But I think he could get close to the top, maybe like 12.
Yeah.
And to move down, unfortunately, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to say Ja.
Oh, wow.
It's only because it's not about talent or ability. It's only because I don't believe him. I hope he learns. I hope I'm wrong. Look, I 100% hope I'm wrong. I hope he has learned his lesson. He's not going to do anything weird, and he's just like completely changed after this. But
so if he moves down into that tier that we did last week, that means mentality is his group.
Yeah,
and that seems like the number one thing he's struggling with.
Ah. Gosh, I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But that's what my gut tells me.
All right, that's it. Stay tuned next week for the top 10, what you've all been waiting for. Will Giannis be at the top? Jokic? Steph? Luka? Not Luka.
Rudy Gobert? We haven't talked about him yet. He might be coming, guys. For those Gobert fans who are holding out.
Oh, they haven't talked about him yet? Oh, he must be in the 10.
He must be coming. You know when that happens? Oh, shoot. They didn't bring him up yet.
All right, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate. Give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SPR with Cliff and Joe. Peace.
Peace.